Hello friends, Professor Venkatayar again, chapter 14, a new chapter I've introduced in the book. The title is Business of the Future, Role of L&D, Learning and Development. Very interesting chapter, this has been added to put us into the state of art about where L&D is going under the contemporary business practices. So let's get on with it. The structure of the whole chapter runs as follows. Recent evolving practices in behavioral training. Artificial intelligence, the role of that, very important thing that's happening today. The role of narratives, which we talk about a lot in media these days. Work from home, which has become very common during the pandemic. And finally, I'll be giving my own perspective, author's perspective as a trainer. Okay? And then we'll get on with the discussions. Recently evolving practices in behavioral training, some of them have been put on the PowerPoint. The first one is talking about personalization, tailoring training programs to individual learner needs and preferences for better engagement and outcomes. What does it mean? It means there was a time when we used to have people going in for a training program on a certain behavioral aspect, let's say team building. And everybody used to go through the same training module. But individually, each of us are different in our approaches to absorbing a certain behavioral input from a trainer. That is true, has always been true, but today, with the new environment, every job that people are handling requires a certain amount of personalization of their skills. I may be a team builder along with my colleague, but I need to tune it to the way I look at a team and how effective I am as a team builder, which means fine-tuning the generic training into individual personalized effectiveness. That is what this comes to. Why do we need to do this? We need to do this only because jobs have become highly specialized. If there are 10 people who are handling customer service, each of them is handling something very specialized today. And they're handling different domains. Since the domains are different, there's a need for each of them to make it effective by handling it in the best possible way, the way they have absorbed it. And as individual personalities are different, it's important that we focus on personalization. Of course, personalization is a little expensive in terms of resources. So it may not be possible to do this for every human resources L&D. But in certain cases where we know that personalization is very, very critical for the effectiveness of the person, it is resorted to. So this is something that's new. It's happening in service sector across many, many industries. Next comes micro-learning. Breaking down training content into small, easily digestible chunks to improve learning efficiency. Let's say I have to learn about how to do a pitching as a marketing salesman, let's say. So there are stages in that. Now, one stage, I focus on more deeply, and that stage which I focus on more deeply is a micro learning. I go to the depth of it. For example, if I'm going for prospecting, which is about meeting a customer and trying to seek business. Now, prospecting has got certain steps. Let's say it has got 10 steps. Now, micro learning will involve that every step has to be mastered. And every step, once it is mastered, then you become excellent in handling this entire thing about pitching in a proper way. Now, why is this important? Micro learning is important because competitiveness of industries have gone up in a big way. So if I'm into micro learning, I become an expert. I'm a master of everything, but I'm also a master of one area, which is micro. It's very important. Third thing is gamification. This is very common. Most of us know. We incorporate game-like elements like rewards and badges. It's very common in service sector, IT companies, BPOs. We have gamification wherein there's a good amount of competitive pressure put in the employees to perform better by giving them brownie points, badges, etc. And they give them some freebies, etc. Now, gamification is like making the place more like a game, making it exciting, not very serious. And with every game, there's always a winning and there's always an award. That's the basic funda behind it. Next comes mobile and remote training, utilizing mobile devices and remote training platforms to provide convenient and easily accessible training experiences. It's very common, easy to understand. There are many people, geographically different parts of the country, and the office is located in one place. So some segment of the training is done through remote training with using mobiles. So at a certain appointed time, people are spread out in different parts of the country. They sit there and the training takes place on a real-time basis. It's very common in IT and many other service sector industry today, right? Now we go to the next one, where we are talking about virtual reality, which has come to stay now, VR. VR and augmented reality, they create increasing and interactive training simulations. What are we doing in this case? We are creating a virtual reality, which is like a 3D, a three-dimension model in which you are actually experiencing something. There's a difference between just seeing a screen and experiencing the screen. In the experiencing, there's an emotion. And when the emotion comes in a VR or a augmented reality, the decision-making process and the way one approaches a problem becomes much more better. Right? It looks like a jazz. It is not a jazz. It's got this element. As a trainer, I can tell you, seeing is one, experiencing is more than seeing. So when I experience what I see, that's what this does actually. And that is where the added factor comes into picture. The next point is data-driven approaches, analyzing learner data to identify patterns and optimize training strategies for improved performance. As a trainer, I always talk about patterns, behavioral patterns. It's not about how you behave in one instance. It's about a certain pattern. To give a very simple example, there are patterns of behavior of people wherein some people, they tend to get late. It's a behavioral pattern. So whether they are staying close by to the college or whether they are staying close by to the office, they tend to become late. Now, it's nothing negative. It's a pattern. In learning and development, we talk about patterns. So this pattern will repeat in every other situation perhaps. That's the type of a person that he or she is. So when I get the pattern, when I get the data about this person that he has a certain pattern, for example, he may be a salesman. At the last minute, he's not able to clinch a deal. That could be a pattern. So I get the data. Once I get the data, I learn to analyze why he does what he does. You may need a clinical psychologist to help you analyze and arrive at certain pathways to give inputs to this person, right? And to verify patterns and optimize training strategy. And then we say that this person has got this approach, so I need to train him with these type of inputs. Different strokes for different folks, right? Next, we talk about continuous learning, encouraging ongoing learning and skills development beyond the initial training sessions. This is very common today. We have what are called as learning organizations. In a learning organization, what are we doing? The learning organization is one which encourages all its employees to keep on learning with the express view that whatever you learn, you add to the value of the company in terms of competitive approaches of the future. I'll repeat, there's a future and every company would like to augment its sales, its competitiveness, its market share. And as information expands, you find that there is a need for the companies to unlearn and relearn new ways of doing things. Not just a few people, but the entire organization. So there was a time when learning was seen only as a one-time thing, as a cost. Now learning is an investment and it's an ongoing thing. And a continuous learning organization invests in learning, ensures that every employee involved in the process is learning, and not only learning, he or she adds value to the top line and the bottom line of the company. And this is being a thing, it is a culture, a learning culture, we call it, right? Social learning, promoting peer-to-peer learning. Peer-to-peer means what? There is a HOD of Department A, HOD of Department B. Now, both of them are having some similar experiences, although the content of the experience are different. Now, they could sit across and give presentations to each other and learn from each other's experiences. Or it could be at the very junior level, at the very field level, the salespeople could be giving a peer-to-peer learning to each other by their mutual experiences. This is again very common, even in our education now, we have started giving this peer-to-peer learning to encourage students to perform better and also feel confident, right? Next we go to, I'll be covering now artificial intelligence, the buzzword of today. What has AI to do with training and development? What has AI to do with L&D? Let's try to understand. At the time when I'm taking this particular shoot session, AI has become is becoming the buzzword. It's becoming the practice of all businesses. Every business is going in for AI, and all the IT companies are making their entire thing AI driven, artificial intelligence. So businesses have experienced rapid transformations in recent years due to the emergence of AI as a key tool for enhancing business efficiency. It's a leverage. Traditional hiring and training practices have evolved over time to accommodate organization changes such as takeovers, new product introductions, and technological advancements. So what we used to do earlier as a traditional training and training practices, we used to have some module created for a particular context, create a content for it, deliver it by the trainer, and then take a feedback and see how effective it is. That was very common. But the rapidity with which business is developing today, that traditional approach, before I finish a training, before even after the learning is over, the needs are changed. And since the needs are changed, we need to have information available with us as to what is the change that has happened. And getting information has been facilitated largely by the use of AI today. And AI is a constant feedstock that keeps coming to the table of every organization's HR people as well as the top people, which tells them what next, and what next. That's the way the rapidity of the businesses which are developing. Taking it further, there's this organization development which we talk about in learning and development. OD is one area where we are talking about the overall development of the manpower of the organization with a view of adapting to future changes. Overall development of manpower of the organization with the express focus on adapting to newer changes. When is the development taking place? It is taking place today with a certain change in mind which is going to happen tomorrow. Now, in this, AI is playing a very, very major role because it's going to give you state of art, what's going to happen tomorrow in terms of the industry. And that way, it gives you a humongous amount of information which is very, very critical so that you can design your OD practices, your OD intervention in a proper way, right? Now, what are the challenges in the age of rapid AI advancements? Let's try and explore. Here we come across what are called narratives. When I was rewriting this book, I spoke to a few of the people from the world of HR, friends of mine. And during the course of conversation, it turned out to be that there is a role of narratives. You know, we talk about narratives in the social media today, everywhere in YouTube, everywhere they talk about narratives. What is narrative to do with training and development? Today, companies are advancing at a very rapid pace. And what's a narrative? A narrative or a storytelling is a certain potential tool for motivating and aligning people with certain specific beliefs, values, and actions. Like, I create a narrative saying that XYZ way of doing things is the best thing, and I'm a leader. And I have a mass following who follow what I'm saying and they believe in what I do. So I create a group of people, a team, which is believing in my narrative. Not only that, they promote it. But what's new about it? The new part of it is there is for every narrative, there's a counter narrative. As we see today in every fork of life. Now, this counter narrative is happening wherein people will say, no, this is not okay. The other, something else is okay. And there's a falling for that also within the same organization. Now, when these two narratives are clashing and time is going ahead and we are having fast businesses, it is important for us to understand which narrative is supporting the company's vision, the company's value systems, the company's way of looking at businesses in their own way, the company's identity. So you can just imagine, as you're listening to me, that in an organization, you must have experienced it. You know, there are people who belong to groups, group A, group B, and each group has got its own favorite way of looking at the business of the company. One company may say, one group may say that the sales is the most important. The other group may say what is important is the logistics or the service part of it, perhaps. So each group comes up with strong narratives, and each strong narrative group will align towards making their narrative happen. But this is something old that's already happening, you know, most companies. What's new about it? The new part of it, where the focus comes today, is when a narrative is expressed by a group of people or some heads of these narrative groups, we have to make sure the top management, the L&D people have to make sure which of these narratives is in line. I repeat, which of these narratives is in line with the interests of the company, the values of the company, the vision of the company, etc. Because that narrative is what is going to benefit the company. It is not to say that the counter narratives are incorrect. No, the counter narratives also have their value. But what is right now to be given focus here, and the other counter narratives have to be, we have to have a dialogue with them. No combat, no battle, no argument like you have it in the on certain forums. No, it's not so. But we have to recognize what's a narrative, and based on the narrative, the other people with the counter narratives need to go through a certain type of a L&D orientation, learning and development. They need to be tutored on certain things. That's very important. And that is one of the challenges we are going to be facing now. Certain companies have started doing it in a very small way. As I'm getting the inputs from some of my friends who are already there, right? So this is something, let's understand this very clearly. Narratives do have a role at the workplace today in the age of fast moving businesses. That too backed up with AI. In the context of learning and development, it is critical, it is crucial to find ways to introduce narratives to employees earlier on. When I'm inducting you in the company, you go through induction and orientation. As an L&D expert, as an L&D driver, I have to ensure that I introduce you the proper narrative of what the employee is supposed to do in line with the company's interest. Organizations are hubs of group activities and need to explicitly define their values, vision, objectives, and goals to establish corporate culture. This is a very important thing. I come across organizations whose corporate culture is not properly defined and stated explicitly. This is what we are, this is what we stand for. If I tell you that this is what we are and this is what we stand for, it's clear that you know what you need to do this and not something else. Many a time the corporate culture is taken for granted. It's through rituals, practices, and certain things which collectively certain people do, and so we assume it. The time has come where the corporate culture has to be stated very clearly so that people know that they have to define their own values which are aligning with the values and the vision of the company. How is corporate culture understood? It is disseminated through narratives. The corporate culture will tell us, this is the way we are supposed to be dealing with people. This is what we mean when this happens. So they create a narrative. A corporate culture creates a narrative which employees must understand to align their thoughts and actions with the company's identity and interests. It was there earlier also. Corporate culture used to tell many things to people. Certain people are aligning. The criticality of narratives today is more high than it used to be earlier. That's the point. With the AI-driven business today, narratives are gaining a lot of momentum through social media. And corporate world is no exception to that. And because of this, what really happens is there could be something which is alarming that could happen if the proper narrative is not put into action when we are into L&D. That's the basic thought process behind this whole discussion, right? What is the impact of the narratives at the workplace? Employee engagement. Narrative should evoke the right emotions. It should foster bonding among people and create a sense of belonging among employees. Company culture. It should supportive narratives can enhance and reinforce company cultural expectations. I've already mentioned this. Taking it further, leadership communication. Empower leadership through effective narrative communication. The leader should learn to create a proper narrative format, a proper narrative text, a proper narrative tone, so that he is inspired by the people in the company to follow that narrative. I am not saying that there should not be no counter-narratives. There could be counter-narratives, but we must know what works for us. The counter-narratives will be like an alarm bell or a tick or some sort of a knock on your door to tell you, hey, can we do it this way? We may learn something from a counter-narrative, but that's not the thing to be followed. The main narrative is to be done by the leadership communication. Next comes knowledge sharing. Narratives facilitate the free flow of information and prevent misguidance, important, or communication breakdowns. There's an event in the company, and the event is going through grapevine, it goes through rumors. The correct narrative is missed out. And people are all into different types of rabble-rousing. Now that is a miscommunication that can create a lot of communication breakdowns and also misunderstanding about the incident that happens. So if you have a proper narrative, which is clearly understood, knowledge sharing becomes easier and there is no issues about misguidance. Conflict resolution. It address opposing narratives to resolve conflicts and foster healthy synergy within the organization. I've already mentioned it. I have a narrative which is supporting the company's values. There's a counter narrative which appears to be not supporting the company values. But can I look into it? Can I get into a conflict resolution? This or that. And then arrive at something that is synergizing with the company. Who knows? They may be saying certain things which may be helping us to make something happen which we are not seeing. So instead of rejecting or getting inimical with them, can we look into how it can be done? Right? So taking it further, narratives are also important for change management. Promote narratives that support change initiatives and keep them at the forefront. Now here is where counter narratives come into picture. We are going through a transition in the company, right? There could be a technological transformation, or there could be some, you know, relocation, or maybe a takeover. Now, during this change process, what was valid as a narrative earlier may need to be tweaked. So it's possible that we may have to take the collaboration of counter narratives to get a better picture. So the point that is being driven home is very clear, that there are a number of narratives which are alive in every organization. But we must know which narrative is supporting the company. The other narratives need not be crushed. They need not be destroyed. They need not be discouraged. But they will also have a usefulness at some point of time. This is known to many people at the top management level. I know that. Only thing is that this now has got permeated into understanding at the L&D level, wherein the learning and development has to address this part of the organization, where who is supporting what narrative. That's important. Learning and training. Train employees to identify and address narratives that deviate from the company's culture or the narratives which are supporting the company's culture. Diversity and inclusion. Recognize and adapt to various narratives in a diverse culture, aligning them with the company's needs to create inclusion. Very important, two words are there, diverse and inclusion. Diverse means we have got people from different cultures, different nationalities, different value systems and different social backgrounds. Today's organizations are such. And again, the gender diversity is there. Now, naturally, every person has got his or her way of looking at narratives. They will get aligned to one narrative or the other. And today we are talking about large groups of people working in companies. Now, what is the company's initiative? The company's initiative says that in spite of the diversity, I want to make people into a section of inclusion. I want to make them in, I want the inclusion to happen. Now, that's a very tall challenge, no doubt. But then to bring about inclusion, I need to bring about a certain commonality among all the diverse people who are working in the company. That's where the corporate culture, the stated corporate culture comes into picture. It's very important that we make that thing happen. So diversity is unavoidable today because businesses have become global and businesses have become multilateral. And because of that, this is something that has come to stay. Now, inclusion is something on towards which we need to work consciously. That is where L&D comes into picture. A learning and development initiative should be such that identify the various diversities, map them properly, and create initiatives which are going towards optimizing the inclusion within the company so that the company talks with the same one narrative which is supporting the interests of the company. Right? Now we come to the evolution and learning and development in the work from home era, which has started ever since the pandemic came in. An unfortunate thing that happened in the world, pandemic, but industries, businesses, they looked at an opportunity in this threat. Gradually, slowly, to handle the crisis, we created work from home, as we all know, way back in the 20s. March, April, May onwards, people started working from home. Many of them were not equipped to work from home. Many of them had issues of not having a proper Wi-Fi network, etc., etc., or even a space at home, because the home was never seen as a workplace for many people. So the emergence of work from home during the pandemic in the 2020s and the 2021s reshaped the corporate working, creating new challenges and opportunities. Organizations and employees quickly adapted to work from home, gaining insights into its advantages and disadvantages. As we know, companies realized that not everybody need to come to the office every day, thanks to work from home that started during the pandemic. As a result, companies also realize that we can spend less on investment in a brick and mortar building, office, and other areas. So those people who are really required to come, they come. The others who need not come can work from home. But then, working from home, how much of connectedness, how much of commitment do you have towards the work that's given to you? That's again a big question. So they weighed the pros and cons and they said, why don't we take advantage of the work from home instead of rejecting it only as a ad hoc arrangement because of the pandemic? Many people expected that after the pandemic is over, work from home will go away. But today, fortunately or unfortunately, I would say fortunately, work from home has become the order of the day. So many companies have designed their HR systems in such a way that there's a work from home allowed. At the same time, on certain days, you have to come to the office or the workplace physically. Now, in view of this new work environment, there is a learning and development structure that is created, which means how do I train my people? How do I make them learn and develop themselves to work partly from home and partly from the office? And all of you will agree, working from home has got a different context. When you're sitting at home and you're working, you're like a virtual family member sitting there, and by default, there's a likelihood of you getting involved into family affairs or certain social compulsions. It happens. Now, how do you ensure that that is minimized? How do you ensure that that doesn't happen when you're working from home? That's one of the things which L&D has to take into account while designing a training for them. Working from office, again, alternating between work from home and office, how to make the thing properly, adaptively changing. That's again a designing of a certain process. So work from home has given an opportunity on one hand to save on resources, to conserve certain resources. On the other hand, it has also given an opportunity to ensure that people are realigned to work comfortably, whether from home or from workplace. Because we never imagined that there could be a training given to somebody who's working from home. But today that's also becoming an art of the day. How to train me when I'm working from home so that I work optimally as if I'm working from my office. Right? This is the thing. Post-pandemic, many companies have adopted a hybrid approach, as I told you, combining work from home and office-based work, which requires structured training to foster adaptive behaviors that yield results. Already explained. Some IT companies have embraced this hybrid working model with specific conditions and requirements. Like you work for, say, X number of days at home, which is specified by the company's HR department. And then they say after the X days are over, on the X plus one, X plus two, you have to be compulsorily coming to the office. So there's a certain type of a committed way of operating a structure. So many companies have done that. They are still doing it. Hybrid working is now considered a significant aspect of job design, emphasizing the need for training employees to excel in this new work environment. I've used the word job design. One of the motivational initiatives taken when you're designing a job, we must have learned in HR, we got various types of job design. Now there's a new job design element that has been added to the job design, which is job enlargement, job enrichment. Now here we are talking about work from home and work from office as a hybrid is a job design. How is it a design? It motivates a person to use the best of both worlds. It's like a flexi time, or I would say flexi place. I'm working from home today. I feel I'm having one flavor of working. I work from the office. I have another flavor of working. Not that I have a choice all the time, but then that gives me that variety of juggling with workspaces, right? Learning and development is undergoing a transformation to meet the demands of the evolving work landscape. Organizations are formulating strategies and initiatives to address critical areas such as budget allocation, staff retention, attrition management, HR policy adaptation, and enhancing business efficiency through innovative work practices. Keeping the work from home or the hybrid working, work from home as well as work from office as a constant, all these are getting reworked now. How much of budget we need to allocate for training and development, learning and development. Staff retention, how do we retain staff? If you're working from home, are you out of sight and out of mind? Is it possible that you're not working properly? Are you doing something else which is not good for the company? How do I see that is not done? Do I keep on monitoring you all the time? Not possible. Attrition management, how do I see that people don't leave because they find more comfort out of the workplace? HR policy adaptation, new policies have to be put into practice, and enhancing business efficiency using these innovative practices. Right? Now I present my own perspective as a trainer who's doing a lot of corporate training for organizations. In the ever-evolving environment and the supporting systems that drive workplace efficiencies, organizations must acknowledge, assess, and implement these new tools to enhance their operations and maintain competitiveness. Further, I would like to add, consequently, learning and development departments within organizations must analyze the impact of these emerging support systems on human resources, including their behaviors, well-being, and performance. The introduction of AI, work from home, narratives, and there are many more that are coming up now, which we never thought of in the past as HR people or learning and development initiators. Now we have to be conscious about that and ensure that this is being properly taken care of. I see this happening in companies where I'm doing some training, wherein the flavor of the training is slightly taking a different turn now, unlike what used to happen conventionally those days. L&D plays a critical role in meeting the needs of various departments while also researching, adapting, and devising innovative strategies of HR retention to ensure that the organization's long-term success. So in short, L&D is playing a very, very critical role in ensuring that this new regime of working, rapid business changes, the introduction of AI as a leverage for running businesses, the role of narratives, which are playing a major role, work from home, and many more to come. All these put together are actually giving us an opportunity for the L&D to evolve in a different way. So L&D itself has to become very innovative in its approach. And with this, my dear friends, I end this module. Thank you very much.